So yesterday we heard Jesus' stern warning about the guys who like to wear the long robes, etc. And what it reveals is a Jewish and Christian insight that is really not shared by any philosophy around the world. Generally, there's two philosophies of evil you can find in the world religions. One is you have evil as an opposing power to the glory of God or whatever the gods happen to be. So you have this kind of dualism where you have two powers fighting with each other, and in a sense they are equal. You find this in philosophical dualism, you find this in Manichaeism, you find this in yin and yang theories. You have this kind of, and then they eventually become morally neutral to each other. Good is not actually good, evil is not actually evil. They're generally just what side you want to take at a given moment. And then this bleeds into another philosophical position which usually dominates, which is no morals, really. You have a understanding that there are things that are more honorable than others, but generally speaking, the whole thing is waved off. You can get this particularly in Greek poetry, which is why Plato hated it so much. That you find in Homer, it's when the poetry of Homer in the ancient Greek world, that he would say, and something was evil. All it means was that that was something that Ajax or Achilles or Agamemnon didn't like. Something that opposed what they wanted. That's all that evil means to them. Now, the reason why we need to be consciously aware of these two things is that this is where the fallen mind always comes to rest. It takes a constant reminder to understand what Christianity teaches about evil. And in fact, very often, the people on the outside world, especially today, they think that Christianity is a battle between heaven and hell, good and evil. And you find this parodied in video games and movies and all this other stuff. And the reason why I know that people genuinely believe this about Christianity is that these movies and games use Christian symbols, and then all the young people who play them come up to me as a priest, or before I became a priest, and they would have this sheepish look on their face. Is this like really what's going to happen? Like, they're terrified. They're absolutely terrified that this is how the cosmos functions. Christianity teaches something fundamentally different. That there is only good, and that evil is a willful parasite. There is only created good. Evil is a willful parasite. That God did not make evil, but because humanity and the fallen angels chose to do something other than God's will, then we can't be self-existent and rebel against God. So we have to steal from God and steal from others in order to do our own will. So yesterday's gospel is a good example of the evil of clericalism. Because clericalism does not function if you've never had good priests, right? If you've had a history of priests who laid a foundation of good action, teaching, being present to people, helping the suffering, building schools, building hospitals, you would never be able to have the guy that just wants to come in there because he wants to be praised. And this is part of the reason why we have a vocations crisis. Very few young people today are willing to put in the work because it is good to do. All the social benefits, gone. Nobody praises you on the street when you're walking down the street and calls, "Hi, Father, can I buy you something?" I will tell you from personal experience, that is not what you expect. When I'm walking down the street in my Roman collar, I'm prepared for the worst. So we've had a complete reversal. And people don't understand that the reality or the experience of evil as a parasite also comes in from today's first reading, where it is the strong man who comes across as weak, and it's weak men who use power. Jeremiah is afraid for his life, utterly terrified. And it's even more painful because he knows it's because he's been doing good things for Israel. He's been saying to them, guys, we've lost our way. We're about to be destroyed. I'm telling you, please repent. For the love of God, please repent. And they want to kill him for it. And you notice, though, that the scriptures today give us an insight into his persecutors. That even though they have all the structures of power, all the structures of authority, everybody and the army and everything behind them, they're afraid of him. They're afraid of him. It's a really interesting dynamic that you really only see when a truly good whatever shows up on the scene. The parasites gradually hate the person because then it becomes clearer and clearer that the system has grown more and more corrupt. I heard this from a guy in the seminary who's from a different country, which will remain nameless, and he was quite surprised how openly people tried to succeed and to be good. And he said in his seminary, where the seminaries were full, if a guy tried to do good, he would be beaten down because they wanted the bar to stay low. They didn't want any preeminence. They didn't want anybody challenging anybody to do anything more because then that meant that we would be exposed, that we would be known. And you can see today's gospel, Jesus' frustration with this whole thing. He warns his disciples, like, right out the gate. Hey, guys, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and it's going to suck. It's just not going to be fun. And the mother, right after that, says, have my boys sit at your right and at your left. It really shows you how little people are actually listening to him. It just shows you how little people are engaged, and what they want is Jesus to give them what they want. And it's an incredibly tragic pain that he cannot break through this. That he stands as the Lord of life, that he is the giver of life, that he is the Messiah. And what we want from him is so irredeemably small that we want to fight over the scraps of the world's table rather than eating at this one. And this is why, in a weird sense, evil is actually self-destructive. Tolkien did it really well in the fact that in the end, even though no matter how powerful evil comes across, in the end, its own success is its own defeat. When people are constantly criticizing and trying to tear down good, they don't realize is that, well, a parasite can't live without a host. And that the devil and the world and all of these things have nothing to stand on unless there is the glory of God. And yet God is powerless to tell us this fact because we're wired into this world. And that's why God comes in disguise. He is willing to do the work without the acclaim. He is willing to be able to communicate life having other people try to kill him. He is willing to feed while himself remaining hungry. He is willing to be present to people when nobody is willing to be present to him. This is how a Christian also follows in God's footsteps. We are not meant to feed the world in order to get something out of it. We show the faith that we have by knowing that we are already fed here. We are already fed here. And then from this encounter, then we feed others. This is not easy. And in fact, it does feel like being beaten, scorned, crucified, and dying. But that's the life God is promising. But if we want to know a way in which the glory of God is truly revealed in a world of ciphers and parasites, it is the one who finds the greatest joy, not in receiving, but in giving.